The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Okay, we're going to talk about gifts of the Spirit, unwrapping the gifts. How many want to hear about the gifts? All right, praise God. I'm glad. Because it's really important that we understand how these gifts operate. They not only operate in the church, but they can operate in our life, wherever we are, in the marketplace, in our daily life, in our families. We need all these gifts to be in operation. Now, as I said last week, I put the gifts that we find in the Bible in two different categories. Spiritual gifts and gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are the nine gifts that we find in 1 Corinthians. And we're going to get into that. But I just want to encourage everybody in the fact that the gifts, there's giftings that's imparted to every person when you receive Christ as your Savior. It's a supernatural gift. And those gifts are the labors in the body of Christ. It gives us the opportunity to be used by Jesus Christ. The things that I'm going to be talking about today, and I'll talk a little more about both of these, but the things that I'm going to be talking about today are tools that he has given us for ministry, to be able to minister and hear and speak the things of God into people's lives. So, giftings are vitally important in the body of Christ. Being gifted and recognizing that you are gifted is important. I hear people say sometimes, you know, I don't have any gifts. Then you're calling God a liar. Don't do that. Yes, sir. God has promised that he has gifted you in areas of your life. And I'm of the opinion, I can't really take scripture and show this to you, but I am of the opinion that if you use the giftings that God gives you, he promotes you. He adds gifts to you. Hallelujah. Because I've just seen it happen so many times when people step out in faith and allow God to use them. Before you know it, they're able to do other things and things that are astounding to the individual, to you. You say, I didn't know I would be able to do that. But God placed those gifts. Amen. Gifts are important. How many like gifts? We all like gifts, you know. I've got a birthday coming up. I like gifts. Amen. We like to have, you know, the best gift I can have for my birthday is my family all gathered around me. That's a gift that I love. My mom had a birthday not too long ago. You know, praise God. Look at that woman back there. Can you believe she's 83 years old? Wow. Incredible. What a gift. She's awesome. But because for her birthday, we all got together, several of us yesterday, and did some things in her house and tried to fix up a little bit. Things didn't turn out quite as good as we had hoped they would, but we tried. So we all like to get gifts. A church got a phone call. Secretary got a phone call from this guy who said, the first thing he said to the secretary is, he said, I'd like to speak to the head hog of the trough. And she said, excuse me? He said, I want to speak to the head hog of the trough. And she said, well, if you're referring to the pastor, you're going to have to be a little more respectful and call him pastor or minister something. And the guy said, well, okay, but I've got $100,000 that I want to donate to the church. And the secretary said, hold on just a minute. I think the big pig just walked in. Changes our attitude a little bit when there's a gift involved, isn't it? Changes my attitude, your attitude should change about our spiritual life when we recognize there's giftings and there's tools that God has for us. So we want to kind of jump right into this thing. I'm not exactly sure how far I'm going to get this morning. But 1 Corinthians 7:7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his purpose, his proper gift," "one after this manner and another after that." Everybody has a gift. That's why I said, if you say you're not gifted, you're calling God a liar, because God has said in his word, you are gifted. You have a gift. Every one of us has at least one gift. And spiritual gifts are key to experiencing the abundant life of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said he has come to give us abundance, he meant it. And spiritual gifts are a part of that abundance that he promised us. I believe Jesus promised to give born-again believers in Jesus Christ, that is, people who understand and make a commitment to serve and follow Almighty God through his Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he has promised us an exceptional life. And gifts are a part of that exceptional life. Abundance. And in order to experience that exceptional life, we have to be fully connected to God. Now, last message I did share about the scriptures, I gave you an overall list of spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts, they are given in the body of Christ. Now, we have to understand, the body of Christ is not in competition. I don't compete with the pastor up the street or wherever, all around you. I don't compete with the other churches in this area. We're all on the same team. Amen? So it's not about competition. It's all about cooperation. When we cooperate with one another through the giftings that God has given us, then things begin to happen in the kingdom of God. When we as the churches in this area get our hearts and our minds together and recognize this is about the kingdom, not about our little kingdoms, things begin to happen. Things will happen and change. Lives are altered. Deliverance takes place. Healings happen. Marriages are restored. Relationships become whole and healed through the supernatural power of God. I'm standing up here this morning. I'm telling you, I have absolutely zero power to do any of these things that we're going to be talking about, except I have the one inside of me that has the power. Okay? So I want you to understand, I'm not saying we're superhuman. We are superly human because of the power of Jesus Christ, because of Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Amen? It's awesome. All right. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Amen? God's Spirit is inside of each and every one of us. How can we be anything but superhuman? Think about it.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
We have this power in us. The power that created everything that we see in our world. All the stars and the moon and everything that science talks about. It was all created by a superhuman force. And that superhuman force one day said, "Hey, I'm going to come and live inside these puny little humans." And glory. What happened on that day that happened? The first time it happened, with the Holy Spirit was imparted to people and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, the whole area that they were in shook. And the power of God descended upon them and they ran out into the streets. They spoke in all kinds of language, superhuman language, supernatural language. And lives were changed. It said that day, just that day alone, 3,000 souls were added to the church. Hallelujah. Let's let that happen today. Some of you are probably saying to yourself, "No, I don't want to see any weird things." Well, I'm not talking about weird things. I'm talking about the power of God. Now, to God, it may seem weird to us, but to God, it's just natural. Supernatural. That's what we want. Supernatural. Let's not, look, we got Halloween coming up here before long. The whole world's going to be talking about and looking at supernatural things. Our whole society really into the Halloween thing. Supernatural. It's supernatural. But listen, most of that stuff is on the dark side. We're in the light side. So we all recognize people. They recognize palm readers. They go to them. They read their horoscopes. They believe in supernatural things happening, seances and all kinds of stuff going on. And yet, when I start talking about a supernatural word of wisdom, a supernatural word of knowledge, a tongues and interpretation, especially tongues and interpretation, boy, is that scary. When I start talking about those things, the church acts like God is dead. And we're afraid to experience that. The world's not afraid to experience the supernatural. Why are we? Because somebody's going to say something. You're just weird people. I'll take the label. Weird Pastor Rob. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Because God is good. And his gifts are good. And my goodness, I need to get to this message. Hallelujah. According to 1 Corinthians 12:11, he manifests and distributes gifts at his will. Now, we're not going to particularly go to that all those scriptures or read it. But here's what 12:11 says. But one in the same spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That's exciting to me. Because I know that it makes it seem like, well, you know, the Holy Spirit's just kind of picking and choosing, and he says, oh, all right, today, Tony is going to have a word of knowledge. But for the rest of her life, I'm not going to let her have words of knowledge. Kind of feels that way in that scripture, doesn't it? But I really don't think that that's what God is saying. He's saying he distributes them as they're needed to the body of Christ, and he makes them available at his will. So what is his will? His will is that his people walk in the supernatural gifts. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Therefore, his will is to distribute those gifts among his people and use us to walk in these giftings, these tools. These tools are available. Hey, you know, here's the crazy thing. If all you have is a hammer, everything's a nail, right? Well. You know, you have a problem, you pick up a nail or a hammer and you bash it. Well, when I'm working on plumbing under the sink, a hammer's not the best tool to use. In fact, it's not a good tool to use. Especially if I'm having problems, I get a little upset. I'm going to bash it a little too hard. And then I've got real problems. So guess what? We got to pick up the right tool. And God wills that you have the right tool in the situation that you're in. The right tool that in the situation that we are in here at the church. When we congregate together, God gives us the right tool. We can trust him with that. All right, so we talked about the difference between spiritual gifts and gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the spiritual gifts are just like our praise team up here. They have giftings. Take away all these instruments, their tools, and their giftings would not be as great without those, because these are the tools that we use for worship. Worship was awesome this morning, amen? Worship's always awesome. Praise God. We get out what we put in. But they could come up here, and of course there are churches that they don't have any instruments, and you know, that's their thing. Praise God, we believe in instruments, because I enjoy it. It would be great. It is awesome that they have the tools, but they have the gifts to use those tools. And that's what we're talking about this morning, that when in the church we have the gift of helps, it's a ministry. It's a labor in the church. But those gifts, those people who have the gifts of helps also have available to them these 9 gifts of the Spirit. Tools to be able to minister to people as they help them. Whatever your gifting is. I hope I haven't confused anybody with that, because I want it to be really clear. Because I'm talking about tools this morning. All right, so today we're going to begin talking about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And we're looking at Revelation, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the reason I said Revelation, because I'm going to put them in categories. Chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. Let's go there real quick. If you have a Bible, your iPad, your phone, you flip there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Right from the beginning, he said, listen to what I'm saying, because I want you to have the knowledge about these spiritual gifts. You know that you are Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And Paul is making a point that they used to fall under trances and all kinds of things and have supernatural manifestations, and they were out of control. But he's telling them, listen, the Holy Spirit does not work that way. The Holy Spirit rises up inside of us, and as part of our, and we become a part of his team, and we allow ourselves to be used by him. He doesn't force you to do anything. It's not a possession by the Holy Spirit. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we yield to that manifestation. You can reject it if you want. If God gives you a tongues, you can sit back there and never give it. If you get a word of knowledge, you can sit back there and not share it with anybody. Because that's our God. But I can guarantee you this, if there's something that's supposed to happen, God will find somebody in this congregation that will give it. If it's a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, a prophecy, whatever it is, God will find somebody that he can use. So we're going to look at this. Keep going here. Therefore, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God is in control. And if we yield to Him, He will control our lives. With these tools, we have the ability to minister supernaturally to people. Now, we're going to look at them. We're going to put them in categories. The first category is revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. That's the category that we're going to look at this morning. And I'll go as far as I can without wearing you out. Okay? Y'all in? All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. What time is dinner? About 5? Nah, I wouldn't do that to you, really. Revelation gifts are supernaturally reveal something we need to know but could not without the operation of the gift. Now listen, some people teach this as a word of wisdom is natural wisdom. This is not natural wisdom. You know, we gain natural wisdom by experience. Hopefully, we learn by experience sometimes. We learn by experience. We learn by from other people. You know, I've had many wonderful men speak into my life and tell me certain things that I should do or shouldn't do. And if I had enough wisdom to listen to these elders, which I didn't always, I got to be honest. But if I listened to them, I could look back and say, boy, that was really good advice. I can live by that. That's wisdom. You get wisdom through just naturally living. And if you don't learn from your mistakes and your failures, then you are destined to practice them all over again, right? Okay, that's why it's important that we know history, because history sometimes can reveal to us what we don't want to do in the future. All right, well, anyhow, here we go. We're talking about these gifts. So the word of wisdom, word of knowledge are not natural wisdom and not natural knowledge. These are supernatural gifts imparted to God's people. Okay, the power gifts, faith, healing, and miracles, power gifts. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want you to know they give the believer supernatural ability to affect positive change in the natural world. Supernatural ability to affect positive change in the natural world. It's not natural to be able to have faith to overcome a difficult situation and trust in God. I can't get into this. I've got to keep going. Vocal gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. These are vocal gifts. Why are they vocal gifts? We speak them out to people. Vocal gifts are the supernatural vocal expression of the Holy Spirit through the believer. Once again, we see that this is all about Holy Spirit, not about me, not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit moving and using us. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Praise God. This is an exciting study. Are you having fun with this? I hope so. I have about 4 people who are having fun with this, okay? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to have fun whether you do or not. So you can come and join me if you want to. We're just going to have a good time. At least I am. Revelation gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:8 tells us word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And then 12:10 says discerning of spirits. So those three things is what we're going to look at this morning. We're not going to get all of them covered, but I want to begin with a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. Wisdom, you know, the Greek word that is used here is logos. Uttered by a living voice, embodies a concept or an idea. In the scripture, this word, it bounces back and forth between natural wisdom and supernatural wisdom. So we have to be able to discern, you know, what is supernatural in it. And we'll talk about that a little bit. There are many definitions of wisdom, Sophia, to in Strong's Concordance, and they are a mixture of acquired wisdom and supernatural wisdom. Supernaturally understanding something. A word of wisdom gives supernatural insight and direction. Supernatural. In the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, the king Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel has been taken into captivity into Babylon, and the great king Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And the dream that he has, he wakes up and he's really troubled. And he calls all his soothsayers and wise men around him. And he says, I need the interpretation of this dream. And the wise men say, okay, great. Give us the dream and we'll tell you what the interpretation is. He said, no, not so fast. If you're really who you think you are, who you say you are, then you'll tell me the dream and then give me the interpretation. Well, he was greatly disappointed because they did not have that kind of wisdom. And yet he had one in his kingdom that did, a Hebrew, a man of God, a man who came to the king and said, hey, if you give me time, the Lord will show me the interpretation of your dream. Now, the king was really upset and he was going to kill all his wise men. And Daniel and his friends were a part of that. But because Daniel interceded through the power, supernatural power, with a word of wisdom, insight, and direction to the king, he saved the lives of all those people. He gave him the interpretation of the dream after going away and praying about it. And the king was amazed because he not only gave him the interpretation, but he told him what his dream was. Exactly what his dream was. And it had to do with historical things that were going to take place in the future. Their past history for us now. But they were going to take place in the future. And they were right on. And because of that, what happened in his life? He was promoted to a high position in the natural kingdom. God can use these things to move us into higher and better positions in our life. I am absolutely sure of that. And that's part of his desire because he wants you to be in a position of influence so you can touch the lives of other people.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Influence is leadership. This is an old John Maxwell saying, influence is leadership, nothing less, nothing more. Or leadership, I'm sorry, I said it backwards. Leadership is influence, nothing less, nothing more. Influencing people. And that doesn't mean that we're going to influence millions of people. We can influence a handful of people that will make a difference. Just be about what God has called you to do. Influence. Several years ago, somewhere around 2000, we were still on Silver Ridge in a little church on the hill. And in that church, God was moving. People were coming in and things were happening. And we knew that we were going to have to do something. The building was full and we had been making plans and we had sought God. There were several people there that wanted to stay on the hill and I understood that. You know, this was a church that they had had. It was a family church handed down generation to generation. My desire, I got to tell you right from the beginning, my heart's desire was to be somewhere on Route 7 because of we were on a gravel road. It was difficult in the winter. There was just some obstacles. You know, it's an old real estate thing. There's three things about real estate that is important. Location, location, location. You know, location for a church isn't an important thing. So, here we are, we were praying about it, and I said, God, whatever your will is, that's what I want. If that's what you want is for us to stay here on this hill, we'll do it because you can grow this church right here. You can prosper us and cause us to move forward. So we were praying about it. We were seeking God. We were running into some obstacles. We had to have more land. in order to have parking so we'd have enough space. We were, you know, you should have seen the place. Cars were parked all along the road, all over the place. It was a crazy time, exciting time. But we asked people right around us if they'd sell us land, and we just kept hitting a wall. We had some people that said, yeah, we will sell you some land, but they really didn't mean it. So we found that out later. But one Sunday morning, as we were praying and seeking God, and I was just constantly asking, God, you know, show us what you want us to do for sure, because this things aren't happening here. And one Sunday morning, we had a Sunday school class back then, and it started in our Sunday school. The Spirit of God just started moving into place, and things were happening. People were getting excited and shouting and running around. You think we have some wild services now? You should have been there that Sunday. It was crazy. Hallelujah. Yes, Ivy, you loved it. But it was good. And it moved right into our worship service, and people started just shouting and praising God. We were reading the book by Tommy Tenney back then, God Chasers. And there was a proclamation in there. I got up and read that proclamation, and people got excited. God was doing some things. And suddenly, Mary Pellegrino, praise God for Mary Pellegrino, who is rejoicing in heaven right now. Amen. Glory. Mary Pellegrino said, God said to open the doors. And they went back and opened the doors, and it got even more exciting. People started shouting and running around. They ran outside and started shouting. Things just crazy, exciting experience. And finally, you know, we finally ended the service, and, you know, it was hard to get people to leave. But As we were going through this, something else happened. Pastor Karen Davis, who's also has departed, be with the Lord. She was an associate pastor at the time. But Pastor Karen said, God showed me, he gave me a word of wisdom about what this was all about. And he said, Holy Spirit said to open the doors because he's gone out and we're to follow. This was a supernatural word that immediately I knew, God, we're on the right track. We're headed in the right direction. And not long after that, we found this piece of property. We bought it, and things began to progress with the new direction of the church. And, you know, one of the things that I asked God for was 5 acres on Route 7. Hallelujah. We're sitting on 5 acres on Route 7. Amen. Praise God. What a location. That's the good God that we serve. We can trust him. His supernatural power and wisdom imparted to us as we have need. If we seek after his face, he has promised that he will hear, he will speak to us. He's not a silent God. That's right. I want you to know, he's alive and well, and he's speaking into the lives of his people. Yes. And he'll give us as much direction today as he did back in 2000. Amen. Wisdom, words of wisdom are needed in the church today. And I desire that more than anything in my life is God's wisdom and direction. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and his kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.